Morning. Today's daf and moikan daf chaf gimel. We're in chaf beis amud beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learning zeichon nishmas lo eschum and zalsman. We're towards the top of the amud, and we're discussing the differences between avelus over sharkovim, over the other relatives, and avelus over avivimo, for mother and father. For mother and father, it's a more intense avelus, and it manifests itself in many different ways. I didn't count. There are going to be about a dozen different ways that avelus for mother and father are going to be a little more serious or a little more intense than the avelus over sharkovim over other relatives. As I mentioned yesterday, it could be that the avelus is more intense. There could be also that there's a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, that it's a function of honoring your parents. We know the Gemara in Kiddushin says that you honor your parents when they're alive and even after they're dead. So so as a result of that, the avelus could be that it's intensified because it's added into the avelus is also this obligation of honoring one's parents. And so therefore, there are many different layers. So top of the Amud, we went through one distinction that we mentioned yesterday was Chalitza, was the revelation of the shoulder. Revealing the shoulder, which is a practice that's not done nowadays, where when you're in Avelos, so you reveal a shoulder, you don't have to. But for Aviv Imo, so the Gemara says that you have to. You have to reveal your shoulder. The question was regarding Anasi as well. That goes back to yesterday's Gemara. Al Kol HaMesim. It's about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud on Chav Beis Amud Beis. Al Kol HaMesim Kulam Estap Ala Achal Amid Yom. For Avelus over Sharkrovim, so after day 30, meaning after Shloshim, that's it, you're done. Meaning you're done with Avelus. And so therefore you can get a haircut after day 30. Al Aviv Avalima Achi Garu Bo Chavei Rav. But when it comes to Aviv Imo, so there's a shear in that is until your friends take a look at you and they say, wow, you're really letting yourself go. And you need to be rebuked and reprimanded by your friends. Admittedly, it's a strange shear. In other words, in halacha, the way the halacha frames the shear, meaning, again, you're not allowed to get a haircut beyond 30 days. That I understand. But why is it specifically that your friends have to look at you and tell you that you're disheveled and you need to take care of yourself, etc., etc.? So, okay, and not clear why that becomes the shear, but that's the shear. Okay, another distinction. So for sharkovim, for any of the other relatives, after shloshim, that's it. It's, again, avilus is over. So you can go to a party. But for aviv v'imo, yud beis chodesh, you have to wait 12 months for mother and father. So Amar Rabba Bar Chanan l'simchas mereyos. Now Rabba Bar Chanan says, speaking specifically about simchas mereyos. Simchas mereyos, if you take a look at Rashi for a definition of what exactly that means, Rashi is towards the top of the Amud. Rashi's four lines down from the top. To Uda she'osim reyim va'uvim ze'in ze'. A social get-together, says Rashi. V'la'vi simcha kolkach. And that's a modest simcha. When all we're doing is just getting together. Ava simcha de, ava student simcha kegon nisuin lo. But if it's Uda simcha, like a marriage, like a wedding, well, that's a major simcha that has a mitzvah element to it. So that you can't do. Right, so that's the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here, that the Gemara is making a distinction between a social gathering, a social get-together, and a Suda's Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Now, from Rashi's comment, it's not clear. Go back to the previous Rashi. Rashi writes that the Gemara is commenting right now on Sharkrovim after 30 days. Meaning that for the other relatives, when you're in Avelus over the other relatives, not mother and father, and the Braisa says that you're allowed to go to a festivity. So the way Rashi's understanding the Gemara is that the Gemara is modifying that halacha. And that is that, yes, you can go to a get-together, but a social get-together, a social gathering. But you can't go to a major gathering, which is a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Okay.
Sometimes it's not logical, though. It should be the opposite. It sounds to
me. Maybe. It's a mitzvah. Could be. I can argue both ways. Okay, Meizvel the simple and Meres Lamed Yom. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's take a look at the Braisa. The Braisa says very clearly, Simcha u'Mereus Lamed Yom. The Simcha and Meres, which makes it sound like there are two different categories, but both of them are prohibited only up to 30 days. Kasha. The Gemara says that presents a difficulty. Amemar Masne Achim Rabba Baruch Hanu Simcha Meres Motel Likanes Alter. Rabbi Bachana has a different understanding. That Simcha Samaris you can go immediately, La Alter. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a statement made by an Amora. And meanwhile, we have a Brisa that says he can't. That's a difficulty. So Lakasha Habe Risusa Habe Pura Nasa. So the Gemara makes a distinction. Using Aramaic words which are a little bit difficult. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Once again, we turn to Rashi for an explanation of the Gemara. Habe Arisusa Habe Paranusa. Rashi writes, Arisa Hanu Shehizchal Echamein Laso Suda. So we have a club, we have a group, and basically we get together on a rotation basis. I'll start, I'll host the first one, and then in our group you do the next one, and then you do the next one, and we each one gets assigned another one. Okay, so good. It's a little get together, whatever the causes you want to get together over, and everyone who's hosting is going to be giving food and. And we'll just do it on a rotation basis. So the way Rashi understands the Gemara now is that let's go on in Rashi. So if it's a question now of participating in such a round robin social gathering, so Rashi says that's what the Gemara means. Is that for Shar Krovim, so you can't do it for 30 days. Ava bepura nasa. But let's say it's your turn to reciprocate. Meaning that now it's the same round robin, it's the same rotation, but now you're the host, you were scheduled to be the host. Obviously, scheduling took place before you become an avo, but now you're scheduled to be the host. Shemashal lahem studa shenasu lo, yikans the altar, sheyev shalom, shalom l'shalem. So now you are on the responsibility side of hosting, so now you have the right / requirement to do so, even if it's during your shloshim. That's the way Rashi understands the distinction here in the Gemara.
Right.
And again, the Gemara, well, the way Rashi understands the Gemara previously, by simcha is a more intense simcha. Meaning, again, like Phil said, you can make the argument, well, if it's a mitzvah, like, it kind of gives you more of a pass. But what the way Rashi presented the Gemara earlier, no, just the opposite. If it's a mitzvah, there's more simcha.
Yeah.
And because there's more simcha, there's more of a reason to say you shouldn't go. Okay, so that's good. Back to the distinctions between mother and father, Shar Krovim. So there's a mitzvah of kriya. Okay, so exactly. When we do kriya, subject to menhagim, but there's a mitzvah to do kriya over the loss of a relative. So for Shar Krovim, for the other relatives, so you do kriya, but only one tefach. You tear 3 to 4 inches of your garment, period. But for mother and father, achigalos libo, you tear and you continue tearing until your heart is revealed. You tear down to your chest. The Amr Rabbi Abba Maik Rabbi Yechazek David Bevegadav Vayikar Eim Ve'inach, I'm sorry, Vayikar Eim. So David takes his garment and he tears them. Ein achiza pachos mitafach. And the achiza, there's no achiza that's less than tefach, meaning the fact that he's grabbing it, meaning that he's taking his hand and he's grabbing his garment. So by virtue of the fact that he's using his full hand to grab it, that means that he's grabbing it and he's tearing a tefach. Again, more distinctions. For Shar Krovim, you do kriya, but only on the outer garment, meaning you could be wearing a bunch of layers. Nevertheless, you're only going to be tearing your outer garment. But when it comes to mother and father, so you tear every one of the garments. The apikar soso eino me'akeves. And then the Gemara says, somewhat ambiguously, that your apikar soso, which obviously needs to be defined, is not me'akev. So it's an ambiguous statement that does not exactly clear, first of all, what that item is, which garment is that, and eino me'akeves, what does that mean? You shouldn't be tearing it, you shouldn't be tearing it. Not clear from the Gemara. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Apikasaso sha'ar rosho." So Rashi describes it as something that he wears on his head. Eino ma'akeves klomar, eino tzarich l'kora. So the way Rashi understands it is that there's no requirement to do kriya to whatever they had on their head, a turban or whatever was worn back then. That's Rashi's understanding. Again, subject to a number of other interpretations, but we're going to go with Rashi. Now this halacha of kriya is both the same for the man and for a woman. Now for a woman, obviously there's much more of its needs consideration. But right now, the way the Brisa presents it, there's no difference. B'shema min lazer omer isha kares es atachton umachzi rasal achara v'chozes v'kares alyon. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, no, for a woman to decree us what she's going to do, she's going to tear one of the garments that are underneath. She will then turn it around. Right, back then their clothing apparently wasn't as form-fitting as ours, meaning it's not that easy to take a shirt of ours and just simply flip it around. But if you can imagine, they wore tunics and togas. And okay, so in other words, you tear on the inner garment, you turn it around, and then you tear an outer garment. And by doing so, there'd be no, the woman wouldn't have to expose herself at all, and she can fulfill the mitzvah of kriya without any exposing herself, and so she gets to keep her tznius. V'chozer v'koras alyon. I'll call a mason kula anuratz amavdil kamisafa shalom ratzein amavdil. For a shar krovim, where exactly do you tear? So, tefach, you have to tear tefach, and you want to tear the upper hem, maybe yes, maybe no, meaning it's optional. You don't have to. Right, the hem that goes presumably the hem around your neck, presumably. Alavi v'alim amavdo, but for mother and father, you have to tear. You have to do kriya. Not only do you have to do kriya, but you have to tear the hem as well. That's a requirement. Rabbi Yehuda Amar kol kriya shein amavdo kamisafa shloino ela krash al tiflus. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you do not tear the kamisafa, the hem, it is a useless kriya, a kriya that is simply has no efficacy. I'm Rabbi Abba, my time to Rabbi Yehuda Dichziv. And we're going to go back to the same pasuk. I'm sorry, no. We're going to go to a different pasuk in describing why it is that that a kriya has to be done tearing the upper hem. The pasuk says, Ve'chazek be'vagadah ve'ikarim l'shnayim, kraim. And he took his clothing and he tore it into two kraim. Now, the fact that the pasuk already describes that that David HaMelech tore it, any idea she'en l'shnayim. So already now I tore it into two, meaning that's obvious. So Elisha, nirin kruin kishnayim. It's not that you just simply tear, but it has to be evident. It has to be self-evident. So that's what the pasuk means when it's l'shnayim. So if you're just tearing somewhere in the shirt, but it's there's no hem being torn, so if you look carefully, you'll be able to see it. But if you tear with a hem, so it'll be evident, it's going to be clear that it's now into two pieces. And the Gemara says that's how Rabbi Yehuda understands that every tear has to go through the top hem in order so that's evident that it was cut into two, torn into two.
If you tear an item into two pieces, how do you wear it afterwards?
What do you mean? You wear it. You continue to wear it even though it's torn. I'm sorry. Right, not a complete tear. Meaning, again, for shar krovim, only one tefach, but you have to start at the hem, according to Rabbi Yehuda. For avi v'imo, achigas libo, you go down to the chest, and that's it. I'm sorry.
But if the proof is this pasuk, how is it that David and Melech wore this?
Oh, I see. In other words, the simple pshat in the pasuk is that he tore it into two separate pieces. Right? That's your point.
Yeah.
Okay, that I hear. But right, correct. I'd say like Phil. Doesn't mean that he tore it into two. In other words, but it was apparent that it was torn. Okay, that's what I think. I think the pasuk pshat the pasuk is. Okay, al kol amesim kolam shalal la'achris shiva u'ma'achal la'achris shloshim. What about now? You want to wear the garment again? All right, we live in a very disposable society, so for us, it's not so hard to envision or consider. Okay, after I tear it, I can discard it. But back then, that wasn't the case. You had an article of clothing that was a valuable piece of item. So what do you do after the mitzvah of kriya? So after 7 days. So you can, for shar krovim, for the other relatives. So for after 7 days, you can kind of patch it together. And then after 30 days, you could stitch it back up. Okay, so there's a room to repair the garment after shloshim for shar krovim. Allah vivi'im, oshallah achalam, ebeinam achala olam. However, for mother and father, so it has to be permanently torn. After 7 days, you could do nothing. You have to leave it torn. And after 30 days, the only thing you can do is patch it together, but you cannot stitch it together professionally and put it back together again. However, this braisa says that a woman stitches it back together because of her kavod, because of her honor. Again, for a woman, there's a tznius consideration, so therefore she has to patch it immediately. For all other family members, for shar krovim, so you have an option. You could tear with your hands, you could tear with a clay. Allah vivi'im al biyad. But for mother and father, you must do it with your hand. I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Ava. Again, just practically speaking, it's hard, meaning the garments that we wear are very well constructed. So what usually happens is that they start with a knife and then you continue with your hands. For the shar krovim, so you tear mi bifnim. Now it's not clear exactly what that means, mi bifnim. So if you look at Rashi over here, the way Rashi seems to indicate is that mi bifnim means kind of like an inner garment. In other words, it doesn't have to be seen by everyone. You tear, but it doesn't have to be a garment that's exposed. But for mother and father, you have to do it mi bachutz, on an outer garment. Now, I think that's what Rashi's saying, and that's a difficult pshat, if I'm understanding Rashi correctly, because we learned earlier this morning that for Ave V'imo, you have to tear all of the garments, meaning every layer. So then how can we make a distinction of mi bifnim, mi bachutz? All right, so, but maybe my understanding of Rashi is not good, and that's more than possible. The other way to understand the Gemara, mi bifnim, mi bachutz, would be the difference between doing something privately versus doing something publicly. Meaning that, yeah, right, and there's in our Gemara's, I have an older Gemara, so there's a manuscript Rashi Ksav Yad. I don't have it over here, but the newer Gemara's, the newer published Gemara's have it, so he says a pshat like that, the Rashi Ksav Yad. The manuscript Rashi says that is a pshat. That mi bifnim means that for Shar Krovim, you don't have to do it publicly, meaning in a private room you do Kriya. But for Aviv Imo, so it should be a public kriya. You should do it publicly. In fact, the Gemara in just a moment is going to indicate that in fact is the pshat of the Gemara saying over here. Okay, and then one more. That's it. Alimo karei mibachos. Okay, that's it. So basically now, I mean that really ends the yesterday's daf. But basically now, that is the differences, the major differences between the Avelos for Aviv Imo versus the Avelos of Shar Krovim. Okay, the Gemara gave us a number of distinctions. It all goes back to Chav Beis Amud Aleph, a number of distinctions between them, and the Gemara just now concluded with this final distinction. And now we turn our attention to Avelos for non-family members. Now when I say Avelos, you're not going to be sitting Shiva for non-family members, but a form of realization of that there was a significant loss. So the same thing, similar halachas are going to be translated to Jewish leadership. So the Gemara continues, we are on the bottom of Chavez Amud Beis, about five lines from the bottom of the Amud, six lines. Amar of Chista v'chein l'nasi. The same thing is going to be true regarding a nasi, meaning that this halacha, that your korea mi bachutz, which we said is true for Aviv Imo, is also going to be true for a nasi. When we say a nasi, we mean the undisputed leader of the Jewish community. So when there was a king, the king was a Nasi. That's clear. And after Churban Beis HaMikdash, so there was still Nasiim, there was still leadership. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was a Nasi. Kind of fits him with his name, right? It works out well. But, meaning, it's not just a name. He was the leader of the Jewish community. So there was leadership as well. So the Nasi is the undisputed leader. So when the Nasi dies, so again, Kriya, everybody. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have another halacha, which is that the only comparison of your Rebbe, the Aveis Din, the Nasi, and anyone else mentioned in the Braisa is only vis-a-vis the halacha of Ichui. The halacha of Ichui we just went over is that for your mother and father after Kriya, you never stitch it up again. You could patch it back together again, but you can't stitch it up again. And the same thing is true regarding these others as well. My love, Afilo Nasi. So the Gemara says, now isn't it including also the Nasi as well? Which would be problematic because we said that regarding the Nasi, that everyone has to do Kriya over the Nasi, mi bachutz, just like for Aviv Imo. But meanwhile, from the Brice, it sounds like the only comparable halacha to Nasi and Aviv Imo is the halacha of Ichui. This not stitching up. But vis-a-vis the other halachas, the Nasi is not like Aviv Imo. That's the problem. The Gemara's answer is lo labar mi Nasi. And Gemara says no. Simple solution, and that is no. Look, there's a number of other people mentioned in the Brisa. Your Rebbe, the Aveis Din. So maybe the comparison was made towards them, but not specific to the Nasi. For the Nasi, there would be a requirement for everyone to do Kriya, mi bachutz. Nisiyah Shalchiv, the Gemara tells a story where the Nasi died. Amalei Rav Chista le Rav According to the Girsa, Rav Nachman Bar Ami, Kapi Asisa Vikum Allah Va'achve Kriya La'ama. Turn over the Machteshes, says Rashi. The Machteshes is that mortar. That's what we grind in. So turn it over. Stand on top of it and do Kriya. Right? Sounds like the Pshat I mentioned earlier. That basically, not only do you want to do Kriya, but you want to do Kriya publicly. You want to stand on a pedestal, basically, and do Kriya so that everyone sees it. Okay, then Asi died. And mind you, by the way, this is Rav Chisda talking. So that means that there was a Nasi into the Tekufa of the Amorayim, the period of the Amorayim. So good. So do Kriya for everyone. Al-Chacham Cholos Miyamin, Al-Av Beisim Mismol. If a Tam Chacham dies, Tam Chacham, Rashi over here gives a very specific definition. Tam Chacham says Rashi is the one who paskins for the community. Right, take a look at Rashi. Memuna ala ir shemevakshi mimenu hara. He's the one who gives halacha to the community. So achacham cholz miyamin. So for a demonstration of avelos, again, you're not going to be an ava for 7 days, but at the funeral, you expose your right side, your right shoulder. As I mentioned yesterday, it's one of the nihugim that occurred to Bismana Gamar, but we don't do nowadays. So for the chacham, you expose your right shoulder. For the avbezdin, mismol, you expose your left shoulder. Obviously, there's significance to the chacham being the right and the abesim being the left. I can't articulate it, but I'm sure there's significance. Al nasi mikan umikan. For the nasi, right? That's the leader. The leader died, so you expose both shoulders. Tan rabban chacham shemes beis medrash bato. If the chacham dies, beis medrash show. It's an important reading. Beis medrash show bato. His beis medrash is bato, meaning that if honor and respect, even though, of course, that means bittul Torah, there's not going to be Torah that's being learned, but out of honor and respect for the Talmud Chacham, so his Beis Medrash will be sitting silent.
Is there a declaration before doing Kriya?
No. No. It's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Kriya. So, but no. Av Beis Din Shemes.
They make a book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I shouldn't do the
bracha. I thought he was just saying like there's something formally you should say.
It should be a bracha,
no? Right? There's a what?
I don't remember.
Chacham shemeis beis medrash abata av beis din shemeis called bate medrash shebeiro betelin. If the av beis din dies, so all the beis medrashes stop learning. Gemara doesn't speak about a duration. Okay, obviously I can't, right? You imagine for the funeral, for sure. Okay, and beyond that, I don't know. V'nechlasam beis hakneses meshanes mekomam. And ashinoi makom, you change your place. Okay, now, we may be familiar, and if not, we'll see in just a moment, the Gemara is going to speak about it clearly, that there's this halacha that when you're novel, so ashinoi makom. So you come back to shul, but you don't sit in the same place. Okay, that's the halacha, which we will speak about momentarily. But right now we're talking about communal shinui makom, meaning that we're talking now for the loss of the nasi, for the loss of the leader. Not yet. Actually, I'm sorry. We're not even there yet. We're talking right now about the av beis din. The av beis din who dies. So every beis medrash is bato. We go to shul and everyone changes the location. Okay. So if you're used to sitting in the back, the Gemara is going to say, "So I yoshem mitzafon, yoshem bedarim, yoshem bedarim, yoshem mitzafon." So how are we going to have an entire community be dislocated? So the Gemara says, easy. Anyone who sits in the back is going to move to the front. Anyone who moves to the front is going to sit to the back. And that's a sign of Avelus. Nasi Shemes Beis Medrashos Kolam Betelem. U'b'nei HaKnesses Nechnasen L'b'nei HaLabeis HaKnesses V'karin Shiva V'yotzin. And then if the Nasi dies, so all the Beis Medrashos are Bato. Now again, the Nasi is the leader. So as you can imagine now, the community Avelus is going to intensify. Now this is going to be interesting in terms of what kind of intensification we're talking about. So the Brisa goes on to say, so the base medrashes are closed, but we figured was going to happen. For the av beis din, the base medrash is closed. So for the nasi, for sure it's going to close. And then follow, everyone's going to go to shul. They're going to hear the Sefer Torah being read, Karin Shiva, seven aliyahs, right? It's Shabbos. So in other words, you go to shul to hear the kriya, v'yotzin, and then that's it, and everyone leaves. Meaning, we don't daven together. Now, hard to imagine that the Gemara means we're not daven at all, right? We'll daven at home, privately, right, with no minyan. And then what we'll do is we'll go to shul, and the only thing we'll do in shul is Kriyas HaTorah. Right, Kriyas HaTorah, right, that's Chovas HaTzibur. I'm using language of the Rishonim. Right, it's a communal obligation. That can't be avoided, but the davening, however, is going to be done at home. Again, everyone in such a state of sadness that to congregate in shul, right, a Beis HaKnesses, to congregate in shul, though, already that's that is going to belie the amount of sadness that we're all in. Okay, I'm saying, but right now we're talking about community avelos. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Omer lo she'elcha v'yitala b'shukah l'yoshim v'domim. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha says, just to be clear, no one's going to be walking around the marketplace. Everyone's going to be sitting and quiet, and it's a public mourning. And we do not say any type of teaching or learning in the Beis Avel. Amar Alava Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, Shai Yomer Shmua v'Agada beBeis Avel. He did say Shmua v'Agada in the Beis HaAvel. Okay, a little bit unclear this last part of the Braisa, because is the Braisa continuing its discussion of the communal Avelos, or is the Braisa actually moving to a personal Avelos, a private Avelos, and the question of whether or not one is allowed to learn in the Beis Avel's house? But that's difficult to imagine. It sounds much more like the Braisa here is describing still the communal Avelos and whether or not one could be learning during the communal Avelos. That's what it sounds like. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay? We are now on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph for six lines from the top of the Amud, and now what we're discussing is the Halach of Shinui Makom. The Braisa starts off Avel Shabbos Rishona. Now Shabbos Rishona could be understood as the first Shabbos, but more probably it means the first week. Shabbos Rishona and a Yotze mi Pesach Beis, so he does not leave his house. Shnia Yotze ve'eno Yoshi Bimkomo. So he goes out during the second week, but he does not sit in his location. Shlish is during the third week, Yoshim Bimkomo ve'eno midaber. You resume your regular seat, your makum kavua in shul, but you do not speak to anyone. And Revi is Ari Kuchol Adam, and then by week number four, you can re-engage in your regular life. Right. I thought it, but okay.
Yeah.
Correct. But being cordial, right? Being nice. So according to the Tanna Kamma, it goes like this: week one, you stay home; week two, you go to shul shinui makom; week three, you resume your seat but eino medaber; and week four, you're back to regular. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree. Now from Rabbi Yehuda's perspective, everything is going to be 1 week later, same schedule, but we're just going to simply move a week later. I'm sorry. To tell me that he doesn't leave his house for week one, that's totally unnecessary. Everyone's coming to him during week one. So there's no reason for even make a comment about what to do during week one. I'm sorry. So it's week two that he doesn't leave his house. Week three, he goes to shul, but he does not sit in his makom kavua. Revi is Yoshe ben Kama ve'ino medaber. Week four, he resumes his seat, but he does not speak. And chamish yisareihu kechol adam. And then in week five, he resumes and he goes back to his regular standing in shul.
Oh, that's
Revi eat Yoshe ben Kama ve'ino medaber. He goes and sits in his spot, but he doesn't speak. You want an interesting, huh? Oh, so good. So I don't know the answer, but I will share something interesting, a couple interesting things over here. Take a look at the top Tosos on the Amud, and he quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is Yerushalmi pasuk alach gedivrei Amos biyamim. Okay, the Yerushalmi pasuk's like Rav Yehuda, the one who extends the days, meaning going into week five. Ve'ra'isi Tosos says kesha'isi katan. I remember when I was young, the Bali Atosis is writing, and who would I see? Rabbi Yitzhak Zekeni. Who's this a reference to? I'd say the Re, but, okay, there are a number of Rabbi Yitzhak, so it was a popular name amongst the Bali Atosis. But, okay, let's say it was the Re. So, the Rabbi Yitzhak Zekeni, Shalohaya Yoshev Bimkamo Ad Shavua Revi'i. that he would sit back in his seat, but only in the fourth week. Now I'm not totally following, because sounds like he was going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda only says that you could return to your seat in week four, right? According to the Tanakhama, you could return to your seat already by week three. But I'm not quite following, because if we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, how many weeks is at home? 2 weeks that are your home, the week of Avelos and the week after that as well. And it's clear just from the context that Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Baal HaTosfos, did not stay home week number two. So he says, I didn't understand. Why did he wait till week four to return to his seat? And he gives an interesting theory. Alright, so number one says Tosos, maybe he's holding like the Chachamim. However, Mishum Tzarech Leishiv Bim Kamo Ve'inam Adaber, V'tov Yoster She'yeshiv Chutzim Kamo, D'Shema Ein Isla Adaber Kim Bim Kamo. Very interesting theory. Tosos says, I also smiled when I read it. Tosos says, well, maybe fundamentally he goes like Rabbi Yehuda. And maybe already he could go back to his seat maybe he holds like the Tanakhama, maybe he holds like the Chachamim, and maybe he could have gone back to his seat. The problem is that the halacha demands that you go back to your seat and you don't talk. And maybe Rabbeinu Yitzchak said that's going to be very difficult. I go back to my regular seat, you know, I'm comfortable with the people that I'm sitting around. So that'd be very difficult. So maybe this halacha of not talking is only specific to going back to your seat. But if I go back to another seat, so then I can continue talking. Again, talking in shul, whatever that means. Meaning, again, being cordial, being nice, I'm imagining. But, okay, a very, very interesting theory.
It says funny. He sits quietly and does not talk as much as he usually does.
Back to normal.
Right, right.
So, what you're saying is talking in shul is...
I'm not saying anything. I mean, look, you could quote me, and you could say, you know... Tana Rabbanan. We are continuing the Gemara. We're halfway down on the Amud, first wide line. Kol Shoshim Yamla Nisuin Mesa Ishto Asa Lisa. I'm sorry. Kol Shoshim Yamla Nisuin. Sorry. Stop. Halacha number one is that you're an Avel, so for Shoshim you cannot get remarried. Now we're not talking about the death of your wife, because that's coming up in just a moment. That's the next halacha. Right now we're just talking about Stam. He's an Avel. So he's an Avel. So only after Shloshim can he get married. What about Erison? What about getting, I'd say engaged, but more than engaged? The first stage of marriage, Erison, Gemara doesn't mention. Shemi Kadmenu Acher. Yeah, okay. The Gemara doesn't speak about it. The Eno Medaber. I'm sorry. Mesa Ishto. Next halacha. His wife dies, Rechman Alexalan. Aser Lisa Isha Acheres Ashi Avru Alav Shlosha Regalim. So here the halacha demands that you have to wait 3 yontifs. Right? You cannot get married, remarried until 3 yontifs later. Why? The Gemara does not give an explanation why not. So let's turn to Tosfos, where Tosfos gives a number of possible explanations why it is the halacha demands that a man should not marry another woman until 3 yontifs later.
Didn't we say before it's only 1 month?
We did say that before, because I stopped here at the Gemara. When the Gemara goes on, you're going to see that halacha. But right now, the basic halacha of waiting 3 regalim. So Tosos writes, the second Tosos, Ad shiyeh shlosh regalim belo simcha, velo yishkach avas ishto. So first Tosos says, because Yontif is a time of simcha. And so 3 yontifs to go by, so where he's going to be void of joy, and it's a way of commemorating his first wife and the love of his first wife. Inamik de shiisa isha acheres v'lo yeh zachor min arishonam v'shelo yeh beis deos b'mita. Tosa says another reason why is because if you do not wait this amount of time through regalim, so then you're still going to remember your first wife while married to your second wife. And it'll be a terrible breach of tznius, as you'll be having thoughts of both of them in bed. And another reason, says Rashi, and basically Tosas over here, a bit of a marriage counselor. Tosas says, because if you marry too soon, you're still going to have a fresh memory of your former wife. And then you write, it's funny, my former wife didn't burn the burn dinner like you did, and my former wife didn't. Right, and so again, it's there's logic to this, and there's you have experience of life, and you understand this, but Tosa says it. In other words, you marry too soon, and it's just not going to be good for the second marriage. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Regel Rishon Mesheni, Aser Shlishi Mutar. Rabbi Yehuda is a bit more lax in that only two regalim need to go by the third regal. You could already be married to your next wife. V'im ein lo banim mutar lisa la'altar mishum bito piriyah v'rivya. Now, considerations in terms of when you'd be allowed to marry a woman before three regalim. Number one, if you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu, so then you can marry la'altar immediately. Now, exactly what immediately means, so again, the literal translation is immediately. You have to wait till after Shiva, you have to wait till after Shloshim, subject to a debate. In terms of, let's say, Rahman al-Islam, the wife dies, and you have young children, and you need help taking care of the children, another consideration in terms of marrying a second wife early. Once the wife of Yosef HaKohen dies, and I know this is both morbid and humorous and a combination of both, but let's put it this way, it's real. It's very real. So he turns to the sister of the Beis HaKvaros and he says, L'chi parnasi es b'ni, es b'nai. And he says, help me raise the children. And okay, so basically it was a contract of marriage, right? It was an agreement to marriage, and it was done at the Beis HaKvaros. But still the Gemara says in terms of actually having relations with her, marital relations, so that was not done for some time later. Mila's my Maruba, and that point was when exactly? Amara Papal, Acher Shloshim Yom, so it was after Shloshim. Tana Rabbanan, Ko Shloshim Yom Legeutz. And now we get to the next halacha of Shloshim, and that is laundry. So basically, there are two basic halachas of Shloshim. I know we spoke about this earlier, but we're seeing it in today's daf as well again today. And that is the halacha of Tasporis. You're not allowed to get a haircut during Shloshim, and any type of hair care, and laundry, what the Gemara refers to as Geirutz. So Ko Shloshim Yom LeGeirutz Echa Kelim Chadash Me'echa Kelim Yeshanim Yotzim Min HaMechabesh. Old clothing, new clothing, even if it came back from the laundromat. I'm giving a more modern definition. But in other words, it came out of the press, meaning it wasn't, you didn't do the laundry during Shloshim. It was done beforehand. Still, you cannot wear it during Shloshim. Rabbi Omer Lo, Asur Ala Kelim Chadashim Avad. Rabbi is lenient. He says that the Isra is only for new Kelim, not for old Kelim, an old clothing. Apparently, for old clothing, the laundry is not going to make it look that much better. It's still going to look old. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Amar Lo Asur Ala Kelim Chadashim Levanim Bavad. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon even goes one more step in the side of leniency, where the only prohibition of wearing laundry clothing during Shloshim is only for new white clothing. I don't fully understand this. Maybe, again, it could be that our dyed clothing is just better. They do a better job of it nowadays. But basically his argument seems to be predicated on the fact that if it's colored, if it's dyed, the laundry is not going to help. It's not going to really give it a new look, a fresh look. And so therefore, if it's not white, it could be laundered. Abaye nafik begarda de sarvala kerebi. Abaye allowed himself to rule leniently, but only leniently up to the point of Rebbe, where it was garda de sarvala, like an old tattered garment. But it was laundered, and he wore it during Shloshim. Rava nafik bechi mutsasa ramisa sumkasa chadati kerebi lazer Rebbe Shimon. And Rava goes even one step further in terms of a leniency. He wore a red Italian suit, right? I'm kind of not making that up. So the Gemara describes as being Roman. A red Italian suit, freshly laundered during Shloshim. How could he do that? Resorting to the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon, who says that the Isra of Geyutz is only for new white clothing. Okay, right. What a visualization! Hard for us in our modern construct of how the rabbin addresses. I'll present myself as an example. The my closet's very simple. It's white shirts. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. anyway, good. I get to mock myself a little bit. It's fine. All right, now bottom of the Amud. Mimnesha Amr Shabbos Olaveinu Mavsekes. Okay, we are going to now engage in a very interesting debate in the Gemara, and that is Avelus on Shabbos itself. We know, we saw this back in the Mishnah, and we know that every Avelus is going to have Shabbos in it. It has to. Avelus is 7 days. If we did not have, if Shabbos were to break the Avelus, then there would be no Shiva. There'd be no such thing as Shiva. So we know that Avelus is going to go into Shabbos, through Shabbos, and obviously the other side of Shabbos as well, for whatever the balance of Shiva is going to be. That's clear. What is not totally clear, and what we're going to be discussing right now, is what exactly are the observances of Avelus on Shabbos itself. And the Gemara over here is going to present a very basic machlokas. B'nei Yehuda u'b'nei Galila, there's a debate between communities. The B'nei Yehuda is basically the southern community of the Jewish people, Yerushalayim, and its suburbs. And the B'nei Galila, that's the northerners, right? That's Tzipori, Kinneres, Tveria, Tzfas, right? All the northerners. So there's a basic debate between these two communities. Hani Amri, top of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, V'Hani Amri, Ein Avelus B'Shabbos. So there's a major debate whether or not there's Avelus on Shabbos or there's no Avelus on Shabbos. Again, the discussion of the Gemara is not whether or not Shabbos is going to break Avelus. It's not going to break Avelus. We're discussing now what degree of observance of Avelus is there going to be over the course of Shabbos. This is the discussion. If you take a look at the top Tosfos on the Talmud, he spells it out. Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos. Take a look at the top Tosfos. B'dvarim Shibit Sinamayri. We're talking about matters that are done privately. Kidaparish B'Kuntros of a Samach Nami Leisa Lemekitanai Maisi Plug De Rishim Gamal V'Rabbanan David Dvarim Shibit Sina. V'Achim Ashmak Sas B'Yusham Midalel. Okay, he goes source after source. That the discussion over here is Dvarim Shibit Sina, meaning it's not even up for discussion. Public Avelus on Shabbos out of the question. That's not even open for discussion. What is open for discussion is going to be, excuse me, private Avelus on Shabbos. Yes or no? That's the discussion. So, Mandama Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos. So, for those who say that there is Avelus on Shabbos, Iktani Olam, Ola, because look at our Mishnah. And let's focus on one word of the Mishnah. The word is Ola. Ola means it counts towards Avelus. Counts towards Avelus, what does that mean? It means that there's some observances of Avelus. Mandama Avelus B'Shabbos, Iktani Olam, Mafsekes. On the other hand, there's another phrase in the Mishnah which indicates that there's no Avelus, because what does the Mishnah say? Eina Mafsekes. What does that mean? It means it doesn't break Avelus. Why would I have thought it breaks Avelus? I would have thought it breaks Avelus because there's, right, it's Yantav-like. There's no Nihugim of Avelus on Shabbos. So that's why the Mishnah has to go out of its way to say Eina Mafsekes. It's not going to break Avelus. Because think about it. If there are observances of Avelus on Shabbos, why would the Mishnah have to say it's not going to break it? It must be that there is no Nihugim of Avelus on Shabbos, and therefore it's not going to break it. So then why does the Mishnah have to say the word Ola? It counts. So the Gemara says, I did the Kavala Mishnah Sefer, Aino Ola, Tana Resha Ola. Gemara says, purposes of symmetry. We see this time and again. When the second half of the Mishnah says the words Ein Ola, therefore the first half of the Mishnah says the word Ola. Ulamandar Mayeshavas B'Shabbos Haktani Ein Mafsekes. Now for the camp that says that it's Ein Mafsek, I'm sorry, that there is Avelus on Shabbos. So why does the Mishnah have to say Ein Mafsekes? It's not going to break. If I'm observing some form of Avelus on Shabbos, so of course it's not going to break. Mishnah Dekabala Mishnah Seifa Mafsek and Tana Resha Ein Mafsekes. Again, the same answer for purposes of symmetry, because we know later on when the Mishnah discusses Yantiv, it says Yantiv will break. Therefore, by Shabbos it says Einu Mafsekes, it's not going to break. Don't make a diuk. The Mishnah just simply said it for purpose of symmetry. Lema Kitanai. And now, what the Gemara is going to suggest is as follows: perhaps this basic machlokas between the Bnei Galila and the Bnei Yehuda is exactly this machlokas between the following Tanai. So let's say a person is in a state not of Avelus, but in a state of Aninus. Okay, we haven't used that term a lot so far in the third parak, but just as a brief introduction. When a person at the point of loss, when he loses one of his seven relatives, he's not an Avel. We've already discussed this. The Avelus only begins at Stimas Agolo, only at the closing of the lid of the Aron, then Avelus officially begins. Until that point in time, he was in a status of what's called being an Onain. Now, just again, I know we've clarified this point before, but let's clarify it again. Min HaTorah, a person is an Onain on the Yom HaMisa, but only until nightfall. After that point in time, Min HaTorah is no longer an Onain. What is the ramifications of being an Onain Min HaTorah? He cannot eat karbanos. Again, there's an exception to the Kohen Gadol, who's allowed to do so, but an Onain cannot eat karbanos from the point of death until the end of the day. Min HaTorah. Okay, that's Aninus Min HaTorah. And then there's another idea behind Onain, and that is that from the point of death until burial, so you are in the status of Onain. And as we'll explain in just a moment, we'll see in just a moment, excused from doing mitzvahs. Now, as discussed, as discussed amongst the Rishonim, excused from doing mitzvahs or patently removed from doing mitzvahs. Okay, discussion and debate amongst the Rishonim. Perhaps we'll touch on it today. Probably we'll touch on it tomorrow.
Is that midrashic, Rabbi?
What, this idea of Onain?
No. That you're prohibited from doing mitzvahs.
Again, that's a subtlety which we'll discuss. That's a subtlety which we'll discuss probably tomorrow, in terms of what degree you're removed from mitzvahs. Either you're exempt or you're removed. Now, it could be a din derabanan, but it could be rooted in the idea, which we'll discuss momentarily, of osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Meaning, why is an onain exempt and excused from doing mitzvahs? Answer is very simple. Because right now he has the pressing obligation of kvuras ha-meis, of burying the dead. So because he has that pressing obligation, so he's going to be excused / exempt from doing all other mitzvahs. So there are essentially now two periods that we look at. The period of Aninus, up to the burial, and then from that point going forward, the period of Avelus. Okay, make sure that we get that straight, because you'll see that there will be a distinction that we're going to mention in a moment. Misha Mesa Mutalafanov. So let's say the dead is right there, right in front of you. Ocha Bebayis Acher. So you're allowed to eat. Okay, in other words, again, the emotional, obviously, is in a very fragile state, very emotional, but in terms of the restrictions, you're allowed to eat. We'll talk in a moment of not eating meat and not drinking wine, but you're allowed to eat. Where do you go eat? Out of respect for the dead, do not eat right in the presence of the mace. Go to a different house. Ein lo bayis acher, ocha bebayis chavero. Now, if you don't have another house to go to, so go to your friend's house. Ein lo bayis chavero, so lo mechitza sar tfachim. If that's not available, make a wall 10 tfachim high. Ein lo davar lasos mechitza, if that's not available, machzir panav ochal. So turn your face, meaning don't eat facing the mace. But if you're left to this last resort, turn your face.
The room is okay then, no? According to this, you go to
another room would be better.
No, I'm saying, not going out of the house. You can do it. You don't have to go to somebody else. Just go to a room is fine.
Yeah.
That's the last resort, though. I think that's the last resort.
Again, right now we're just dealing with the basic idea of cover.
Nowadays,
okay.
That's the last resort.
Because they had a one-room house. They had a one-room house most of the time. You know? I don't know if it's the last week.
Okay, let's go. Eino meisiv v'ochel, and don't recline and eat. In other words, reclining is a sign of, right, like Pesach. It's a sign of freedom. It's a sign of relaxation, and obviously he's not in that kind of state. Eino ochel basar v'eino shoseh yayin. Not allowed to drink wine, eat meat. Eino mevarch v'eino mezamin. Doesn't make a bracha, and doesn't make zimun. Ein mevarchin alav v'ein mezamin alav. He's not included in a zimun. Upata mikriya shma min atfilin min atfilin. And he's exempt from shma, from davening, from wearing tfilin. Mikol mitzvah samus b'torah and all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Uvishabbos meisa v'ocha v'ocha b'esav v'shos yayin. Now on Shabbos, meaning again, we're not talking about an aval. We're talking about someone who's an onin. And on Shabbos, there's literally nothing he can do about the mace. The mace can only be buried after Shabbos. So on Shabbos, he eats meat, he drinks wine, mevarchim mezamin, mevarchim mezamin alav. And you are engaged in brachos. V'chai b'kriya shma v'tfilah v'tfilin. And you're obligated in shma, in davening, and in tfilin. Yes, you should be wondering right now. Tfilin on Shabbos, what is the braisa saying? So, that's a more than reasonable question. Uvachol mitzvos amors b'torah. And all the mitzvos in the Torah. Remen gamliel omer mitoch shen ischai be'elon ischai be'kulan. And then Rami Gamliel makes an extremely cryptic statement. Because you're obligated in these, you're obligated in these. The Gemara wants to know, what's that cryptic statement to Rabbi Gamliel? Amar Rav Yochanan, Tashmish Amita, Ika Beinayu. Rav Yochanan says that he's making a reference to Tashmish Amita, meaning because on Shabbos, there is literally nothing you can do regarding the mace, and so therefore your status of Onain is totally suspended, so therefore you are, vis-a-vis Shabbos, you are quote-unquote a regular person, and even it allows one to engage in Tashmish Amita. My love, Behakim Iflagi, now the Gemara says, now what's the issue over here? Marsava Yesh Aveles B'Shabbos and Marsava Ein Aveles B'Shabbos. The Tanakhama obviously disagrees with Rami Gamliel and doesn't allow for Tashmish Amita on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what do you see over here? You see that the Tanakhama's position that prohibits Tashmish Amita is saying that there's Aveles even on Shabbos. Rami Gamliel's position is that, no, there's simply no Aveles on Shabbos. Now, mind you, did you see what the Gemara just did? It compared the halachas of Onain to the halachas of Avelos. The Brisa that we just read was not describing an Avel. It was describing an Onain. And the Gemara just kind of compared the two. And the distinction, we'll finish today with the distinction. Nimai. Could be that the Tanakhama is going to take a more harsher position, because we're talking about the debt is right there. He's an Onain. And that's why the Tanakhama says that you're restricted from Tashmish Amita. But it could be that if you're an Avel, he'll be more lenient. And as far as Rami Gamliel is concerned, we can make the exact opposite argument. That when you're an Onain, the restrictions of Avel does not begin. It's only at Avelus that the restrictions begin. So maybe that's why Rami Gamliel allows Tashmish Amita during this period of Onain, but not during Avelus. So basically what the Gemara is saying is, you can't compare Onain and Avel. They're not comparable. And so maybe what would be true by one is not true by the other. So we leave ourselves with the question of, is there Avelus on Shabbos or not? Tomorrow, look at that, we should finish it off. Tomorrow we continue with the same question, and tomorrow I'll start off with the discussion of to what degree an Onain is going to be exempt from doing mitzvahs.